Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone, founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome back to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and welcome back to Holy Spirit Radio. It's great to be here. It's a beautiful day, December 8th, the feast day of Our Lady for the Immaculate Conception. And it's just a powerful time, my friends, to be back with you during the upcoming holiday season. We have some wonderful things planned for our show today and for this month. We have two terrific guests coming up. Jason Gonzalez is our first guest this morning, a former drug user in Philadelphia who is now a man of faith, who is building a productive life and has been in the WINGS program for the last year and a half. Our second guest will be Javier Rodriguez, a man who spent 28 years in prison throughout his life and who has been recently discharged. Javier is now a man of faith and a graduate of the WINGS program and a personal friend. And I just tell you that this will be a great show. We want to take a moment to just dedicate this show actually to the children of the inmates in the WINGS program, which are literally thousands of children are in the WINGS program through their parents who are incarcerated or are in recovery. And so, again, thank you for joining us this morning. And before we bring on our first guest, Jason Gonzalez, I want to just give you a little bit of an update. Things are going very well with our classes inside the Philadelphia prison system. We're now in three prisons, including the Karan Framhold Correctional Facility and the House of Corrections. And we began working in the Philadelphia Industrial Correctional Center on November 16th. And so we have three facilities now, and we're actually looking at three new ones coming up in the beginning of the first quarter of 2016. So we have a lot to look forward to. And we've also been working heavily in recovery as well at three recovery homes, including the Good Friends Recovery Home in Falls Township, the House of Adonai in Philadelphia, and as well as the Redemption Home. And things also are going well at Drexel University with our men there. I want to just congratulate Lawrence Capers, who got his limousine license and who is now working for King's Limo. And doing fantastic. He's got a full-time job with benefits, doing tremendous work there and making great progress in family life as well. And so I just want to congratulate Lawrence and all of the men who were, you know, doing well and in the WINGS program. Also, we just want to acknowledge Sarah Benneker, who did a tremendous job at three of the high schools in Bucks County as our speaker in the WINGS Men and WINGS Women program. Sarah was our speaker for three schools and really touched a lot of the kids there with her tremendous story. If you recall, she was with us here at Holy Spirit Radio on our program. And October 30th, 2015, she gave a great testimony. And we want to just keep her in prayer because she is right now in the hospital, and we will pray for her and for her recovery. And we just continue to pray for all of the WINGS men and WINGS women who have been with us this year in the five high schools that we have ongoing in Falls Township and Morrisville as well. And by the way, those schools are Pensbury High School East and West, the Valley Day School, the Center for Student Learning, and Morrisville High School. I want to also take a moment to thank Jackie Gallagher, who did a great job in several of the high schools as well. If you remember, our previous show was dedicated to Brendan Gallagher, who died of an overdose. And he was a young man, 23 years old, here in Bucks County. And Jackie was our guest on our previous program. So we want to keep her in prayer and her family as well, and keep up the great work of bringing the message of how important it is to get clean and sober, and how important it is really for our students to recognize the real tragedies that take place through drug addiction. each and every day. So, again, I just want to thank you for being part of the Wings Men and Women program in our high schools. And so as we get started, we'll be waiting for Jason Gonzalez to call in. Jason and I met over at the House of Adonai at 5031 Frankfort Avenue, where we've been working in the Wings program for the past 6 years. And Jason, a former drug user and a young man who is now doing excellent work in the post-recovery program regarding work and building his family life and community service as well, has agreed to join us today. And so he'll be calling in shortly. My friends, if you have any questions for us, please give us a call at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. You're listening to Joe Montone. This is Holy Spirit Radio, and we are talking to our guests coming up. We'll be talking to Jason Gonzalez and Javier Rodriguez on Finding God in Prison. Jason, are you with us?
I am, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. I want to thank you for calling in and taking the time this morning to be part of the show. How are you feeling today?
I'm blessed, Joe. I definitely can't complain. I'm feeling phenomenal. Just taking the opportunity to hopefully for somebody to be blessed themselves today through this message.
That's great. I really appreciate that. And Jason, now you began the Wings program July 1st, 2014. So it's been almost 18 months since you began, and you attended many sessions with us. And I just want to give you a chance to, bring us back to the early days. Tell us a little bit about how you grew up and how you really moved into your recovery and post-addiction days today. And so if you can, take us back to the early days and fill us in on some of the things you were involved with.
I think, like, unfortunately, with most families today, you know, I came from a broken family, and pretty much being raised by a single mom. And, you know, I can remember as far back as the age of three, watching my mom get beat by my dad, and you know, certain things just kind of happened through those stages that kind of affected me. And you know, I had left and lived with my dad when I was 12, and I went through a lot of abuse with him, and I had left him at the age of 16 and went back to live with my mom in New Jersey. So it was at that time that she started taking me to church, and she had, you know, been saved herself and changed her life because she went through a lot of things. So I got saved at the age of 17. And it was after the age of 17 that things in my life started to change. I actually, you know, had a relationship with Christ, and, you know, I actually felt him, you know, in my life. And it was just kind of weird how things happened. I started hanging out with the wrong crowd at my late age of 18 and started getting into drug use at 19, where I didn't understand what was going on. So it was through those times that things just started getting worse. I started falling away from God, and I didn't even realize what was going on. So when I realized at the age of 21 that I now had an addiction problem, I started to take the steps necessary to change my life, which was a long route ahead of me that I didn't know, you know, what was going to happen. So fortunately, I was able to get into a lot of different Christian recovery houses. The Adonai House was not my first. I've been into many recovery houses. They were all Christian-based, and I didn't take it seriously until I was about 25, even though I was off and on. You know, I was kind of being fed a little bit, I just wasn't ready, and I didn't take, like I said, none of that seriously until 25, where I had my daughter when I was 21. So that was a big part of me looking at the other side of life and then being selfish, continuing doing what I was doing. And, you know, it was just a road that, you know, I didn't want to be on but didn't know how to get off. So as I started taking suggestions from people and started working on my life, it was just very, very difficult because I didn't know how to apply things. Even though I knew truth, applying it was a whole different state. And it was just, you know, very difficult to understand on how to do that. And, you know, I was one of those guys that was just hard-headed. You know, I knew best, and that was that. You know, nobody can tell me different. I knew what to do. But I found out different. And as people were telling me these things in life, confirmation came down the line that that was the way to do it. So it took me a little longer than it should have, I believe, to start making, you know, positive changes in my life that were going to lead me in a better direction than the direction that I was going.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and if I may,
today,
how today, old are you today, Jason?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How old are you?
Today, I'm 30. I'll be 39 December 20th.
39. Okay, so you have an upcoming birthday. Very good. All right. Very good.
Yep. And I currently have I have three daughters, and a son that I'm taking on. Yes, with the The Wings program was definitely a big step on changing the balance that I didn't know how to find in life. And, you know, this time around, through graduating the Adonai House with the Wings program, I took it very, very seriously this time because, you know, I would tell guys, like, you know, we have, like, this, you know, the like how the enemy comes at us and attacks us, you know, and we have what's called, you know, it's like how we call the circle of life, you know, and there's only so many tricks that he can continuously use on us, but it's up to us to find that out and like close those doors. So, you know, nothing happens in overnight, nothing happens in one day. And it's a process that, that takes a period of time to work on. And, you know, I tried the route of trying to fix everything, you know, in one, once and got overwhelmed and, you know, it took me out, and things like that. So, you know, finding that balance was very important. And you had to, you know, the only way to do it is just really to be patient and work on one thing at a time. And that's how I found to be most successful for me, in overcoming things in my life. And slowly but surely, you know, progress was happening. And I think that's what, one of the biggest things that, you know, God looks at, you know, is that, you know, he doesn't expect us to be perfect, you know, and he doesn't expect us to overcome, you know, life challenges overnight. You know, it's the process and it's a life process, a lifetime process. You know, just getting to the point of knowing who God is and working, you know, for him, you know, being a servant, it's a whole nother world. When you learn the, you know, being obedient, you know, the obedience part and, helping another person, learning that it's not about us, you know, because, you know, we grow up being selfish and we have to learn how to be selfless.
Right,
and I think that's a big part in life that people don't get today. And you know, learning how to put things in his hands and letting him put the pieces of the puzzle together. Because a lot of the times we try to take control, and I know for me, every time I took control, I ended up crashing and burning and making setbacks in my life. You know, so that's a huge thing today that I've learned how to do is just having that faith. That full, that true faith and trust, and putting things in his hands and believing that he got a plan, you know, and it's not going to happen, you know, on my time. Things are going to happen in his time, and I have to just accept that. and be patient with that, and watch the changes happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
okay.
So that's been a big part of what I'm doing today in my life, is just really ultimately putting everything in His hand, because it's not about me, you know. You know, the word servant doesn't mean that, you know, it's all about you, obviously.
Right.
And, you know, so I'm grateful that, you know, He's given me that knowledge and wisdom to know that today, and to learn how to walk in that today.
Yep.
You know, that's just really so important in my life today.
Very good, Jace. Let me jump in. How many years did you were you challenged with addiction?
I'm sorry, challenged with what?
Addiction.
Well, since I was 19, you know, like I said, I didn't realize I had an addiction problem until I was 21.
Mm-hmm.
But it was at 19 that, you know, literally I was just in a lost state of mind.
Right. And how long are you clean and sober today?
Well, let's see. It's been since May 28th of last year.
Okay, May 28th, 2014.
Correct.
Okay, and what was your drug of choice? What did you spend most of your time and money, you know, actually involved with?
Crack cocaine.
Crack cocaine. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you mentioned that you were in the wrong crowd at 18. What would your message be to high school students if we brought you into the school as a wingsman about the circle of influence that we talk about in the Wings program?
Well, I would definitely say that, you know, if, you know, true friendship is somebody that's, you know, going to lead you in the right direction, give you positive structure in life, as far as in, you know, saying that maybe something's wrong, you shouldn't do this, or, you know, people who are doing things with their life, you know, and especially I would say, you know, if you see kids, like, you know, hanging out, smoking cigarettes, you know, cutting school, or, you know, just not focused on life aspects alone to becoming somebody, you know, I wouldn't recommend those to be the people to hang out with
right.
at all.
Okay. Very good. At your lowest point, okay, how did God help you to make that turn?
Well, I would have to say for me, one of the things that, you know, I'm grateful that I had was knowing that God was real. Having a relationship with Him at the age of 17. So going through the things that I was going through, I wasn't really that person that was saying, God, why are you doing this to me? I was more of that person that's saying, what is the purpose of this? Because I know that you love me, you know, I know that you're real, and I know that, you know, that you have a plan for my life, you know? So it was just kind of like looking at things, and as I was growing, finding confirmation on things in life of my purpose in life. You know, it's like saying, I've heard, you know, somebody once told me that, you know, how can you counsel a person in life situations if you've never been through them yourself? You know, and I think for the most part, that turns out to be true in a lot of cases.
Okay. Have you ever been arrested?
Oh, many times. Mostly for traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been arrested off and on in certain areas for burglary, you know, certain things that happened. And, you know, I would look at that in my earlier stages, you know, as a punishment, you know. But in my later ages, you know, I got locked up for more in my later ages for, like, child support because I'm still in arrears in child support, and I'm trying to catch up on things in life that I let go of. But when things like that would happen to me today, even though it, like, doesn't happen to me today, I currently, you know, I'm being able to make payments in child support and things like that. They really can't, you know, do anything to me today.
Right.
But when I was struggling work-wise and things like that, when I was arrested during the, in the ad in my program mm-hmm. for child support. I was going to court for visitation for my kids. You know, trying to do, you know, trying to get my kids back into my life, and so they had messed up on the paperwork because I had contacted them and said that I wasn't able to make payments because I wasn't able to work for 4 months in the program. So somewhere along the line, they messed it up, and I got arrested when I was going for visit for court for visitation. And I was in there for a month. But that month, you know, I looked at it in a total different way, knowing that, like I said, God is walking with me, and there's a purpose for why he has me in there. So I didn't look at it the, oh, poor me, you know, this again, you know, and stuff like that. I looked at it as an opportunity to help somebody. And through that, and by me looking at that, in through God's eyes, I was able to save somebody. And I still continue to talk with two other people where they're continuously changing their lives and getting closer to Christ.
Okay. Jason, how much time have you served in prison?
Well, I've never been in prison. I've right. only been incarcerated through jails,
right.
and the most I did was 7 months, and that was in Philadelphia jail.
Okay, and throughout your years of addiction, how much time have you spent in the Philadelphia jails?
Well, that was only 7 months, but in the New Jersey jails, I mean, a total of a lifetime, it would be about 3 years.
Okay, what was it like to be locked up for the first time? What did that feel like?
I would say it was kind of scary. And, you know, then, you know, as kind of it went on, you know, it was just like a norm. And how that sounds is it sounds like, you know, absolutely insane. But it became like a norm when I was getting locked up for, like, you know, say traffic tickets or when I did my time for burglary. You know, and I didn't, you know, when I look back at that, it was just like insanity to even like, to think that way, you know, that it was okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's not okay. You know, it's not okay to do these things in life. It's not okay to, you know, to go to jail and not think about, you know, your daughter, you know, or to think about, you know, your loved ones that are thinking about you, the whole other side of people that love you, and what you're doing to them,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, that was just, that just hurt so much when I really kind of came to really think about that selfishness that I did, you know, the people that I hurt in life, that loved me.
Right. Chase, in the Wings program, one of the things we do, send out letters of apology, letters of forgiveness, appreciation letters. I have some of your writing assignments as well sitting right in front of me from August 13, 2014. I would just want to read a little paragraph. But before I do, how many letters of apology did you actually send out during your or phone calls of apology or forgiveness during your time at the House of Adonai or within the Wings program?
You know, I would have to say the majority has been to my 16-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. And we still struggle. And I believe a big part of that is because of her mom, who just has a lot of pain or a lot of hate towards me. And, you know, I mean, today I'm able to, I've cleaned up my side of the street, you know, so that's her stuff. And I wish that, you know, she would kind of grow out of that, you know, mature wise, and that, you know, we can just put that aside because it's not about us, you know, it's about our kids. And it's, you know, it's about building them and putting them on the right path so that they don't make the mistakes and decisions that we've made in life.
Right. Exactly. And that's what the Wings Men and Wings Women program is all about, going into the schools to help the young people, young students, 14 to 18, to avoid incarceration and avoid drug addiction and all kinds of things, you know, that they go through. I want to just read to you one of your writing assignments. Where would I like to be in 5 years? If you recall writing this, I'm going to read it to you, Jace. See where you stand up about 18 months into your profile. With the necessary steps that need to be taken to make it possible to be where I would like to be, starts off with putting Christ in the center of everything I do to get there. In the first year, I am working on being a father to my kids and restoring relationships. Within the first and second year, I would like to work on stability and maintaining my responsibilities by starting my own business. So, I'm also praying on being reunited with my kids, mom, and would like to get married within the second year towards the third year. By the fourth year, I would like to be looking at houses and maintain being the provider for my family. And so how are you doing today in terms of those goals that you set 18 months ago?
Well, I can only say how good God is, because I've came to terms with just about all of that. And I have my kids back into my life. I am engaged. I just got engaged Sunday. And we are looking at houses, and we're looking yesterday. We are actually looking at making an offer on a house. So things have been, I mean, God has just been blessing me, and, you know, whatever the case is, because I deserve none of this, you know, but he just loves me that much, and whatever the case is, just whether I'm just doing the right things in life today, you know, I don't know. All I can say is that I'm just so grateful.
That's wonderful. And congratulations on your engagement, and also on, you know, the success you've had in staying clean and sober, as well as, you know, building relationships once again, reuniting with your kids and putting the whole package together. That's one of the things we work on in the Wings program, is to get, you know, your relationship with God, building your manhood, your captainship, your family life, your work, community service, and even your hobbies and sports. All six of those categories are important. And, you know, you're doing a nice job of slow and steady growth. And I saw you, you know, just a short time ago, maybe a couple of weeks, but you looked really healthy to me, mentally, you know, and physically. And you're building, you know, a better circle of people around you. And you have, you know, a lot of achievements that you've accumulated as you're moving forward. We celebrate the small victories as well as the large ones.
Joe, just to say that, because that's a very important factor in life. And, you know, it's how we call the building a foundation. And, you know, for years I didn't know how to build a foundation. And so today my foundation is built around my church family, obviously with Christ in the center, and being part of. I don't just go to church on Sunday. You know, I'm a part of my church family. I take action in things and be, you know, like I said, part of it, you know, in the family. And that is what my foundation is built on today.
And that's great. You're really becoming, as it says in the book of James, a doer of the word. Mm. And that's so important, becoming a doer and taking action, and such a one shall be blessed in what he does. And, you know, you're being blessed and by taking action and trying to maintain that relationship. You know, in the Wings program, we focus on what God says to do and not to do through and throughout everything that we are striving to do on a weekly basis. And so, you know, you're being blessed, and that's just a beautiful thing. I want to just take a moment, Jason, to let our listeners know that you're listening to, my friends, Finding God in Prison here at Holy Spirit Radio. This is our ninth broadcast. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and we are talking to Jason Gonzalez, a wingman, a guy in the Wings program who has done well, is doing well today, and really building his future at 39. Jason, where do you see yourself 1 year from today?
Successful.
Okay, and what does that mean, successful to you?
Well, I guess with, being that that obedient man of God that I am today and that I'm continuing being, with a beautiful wife that is on the same path as I am, we're doing it together, with my kids fully in my life, that's pretty much it. Well, okay. I mean, besides that, being surrounded, being available to have to work with men who are going through the same things that I went through in life.
Excellent, excellent. And one of the things I found in recovery and reentry is being patient and focusing on building character and personal integrity in the eyes of God. And the Lord says the steps of a good man is in order. And, you know, we want to comply with that order, and you're doing a nice job of that, slow and steady growth. And you know, in life there will be tough days and easy days, but we want to, you know, stay true to the faith so that, you know, God will help us through it all, not just those tougher days. And, you know, I like everything you've shared with our listeners today, Jason. I really have to commend you for the work you've done at the House of Adonai and in other recovery homes, as well as the Wings program. And, you know, I look forward to having you with us possibly at some point in January or February in our school program to give a talk now and then to really be an inspiration. At 39 years old, you know, you come through 20 years of addiction, 3 years of incarceration. You've had some challenges with child support. So you're becoming more and more responsible versus irresponsible. Am I right?
That's correct, yeah.
That's exactly it. And in the Wings program, we talk about the difference between a boy and a man. And so, you know, as you look through those many areas of yourself, is there one area within you, in your character, that you've transitioned to the man side of that list and have left the boy side?
That would be that selfishness part.
Okay.
So you've gone from I left being that selfish person that I was.
Okay, and more of a selfless point and focusing actually on other people. So, and that's a beautiful thing. Well, we're just half past the hour. Jason, I want to just thank you for calling in today, and I want to say God bless you. I wish you the best with, your wife-to-be, your fiancé, and also a beautiful holiday. I know I'll be seeing you at the Christmas party coming up on I think it's the 18th.
Yeah.
And I really thank you for your friendship and also for being in the Wings program. Also want to thank you for repairing my windshield out on Frankfurt Avenue. You did a tremendous job of sealing that hole. And so for our listeners out there, if you need your windshield repaired, I have a great guy to do it, and very credible and knowledgeable. So, Jason, I want to wish you a great day, and God bless you. I wish you all the best for your recovery and continued success in building your life.
Thank you so much, Joe, and the same to you, Joe.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
My friends, we're talking with Jason Gonzalez here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. And just want to, you know, just say it's just fabulous to look back 18 months and see people doing well, because I know that some people actually have passed on in our program. Most people are doing well because they are focused on their faith. God is blessing them with the blessings of obedience, and that's where we're going in the Wings program. And so, again, we're about 34 minutes past the hour. Our next caller will be calling in shortly, Javier Rodriguez. And Javier, are you with us? Okay, Javier, are you with us? Okay, well, he hasn't called in just yet. Javier, can you hear me? Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Javier, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Montel.
How are you?
Fine, and yourself?
Very good. I want to take a moment to thank you for calling in this morning, and it's great to see you on Saturday at Drexel University. Javier and I met August 26th. Actually, he graduated August 26, 2014 from the WINGS program. We met a couple of months before that, and he attended the 50-hour mentoring program within the House of Corrections. Is a personal friend of mine and really a true man of faith today. And Javier, I want to thank you again for calling in. And if you can, take us back to the early days. Share with our listeners a little bit about how you grew up and some of the decisions you made in your life, if you can.
I was born in Puerto Rico, 1970. Came to the United States in 1975. Majority of that time, I lived in Philadelphia. At an early age, I took to the streets at the age of 12, till recently. You know, some of the decisions I made have been costly. It cost me a lot of time in prison, hurt a lot of people, family, friends, neighbors, and strangers. You know, it hasn't been hard making the wrong decisions. It's quite easy to make the wrong decisions. You know, the worst problem is, you know, knowing that it was wrong and how did you correct those decisions today? That's where I'm at today, making the right decisions, you know, choosing life instead of death.
Okay. And that's how much time have you served in your life?
About 28 years in prison.
Okay. And when were you first arrested and what was it like for you?
As a juvenile, 1982, I was put in the Philadelphia youth program here on I think they relocated. They used to be on 19th in Pennsylvania, but they relocated. It was as a juvenile. It was terrible. You was locked up. You was allowed to watch TV and then put in a little cell out to eat. You know, you were allowed to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and they had some recreation time. But then you were locked in a little cell. You know, it was like a grown-up prison.
Okay. And if you look back on your life, did you have any mentors growing up at all?
No.
Okay. I'm looking at some of your writing assignments right here, my friend, and I'm just recalling, you know, all the things we did together. I go back to June 18th, 2014. These are some of the things that you need in your life. Number one, to be free physically. Number two, new people in my life. Number three, a CDL license. Number four, your own home. Number five, a mentor. Number six, peace in my life. Number seven, fellowship. And number eight, to regain communication with my daughter and the things that I like. And so as I look back on some of the writing assignments, I know that we've known each other for, you know, a good period of time. And you've done a great job, not only in the WINGS program at the HOC, but in staying in touch with us through correspondence and telephone over the past year. Seeing you down at Drexel was really a great thing for me personally, and we look forward to having you in our school program coming up in January. But as you you know, recall some of the things that you were involved with. What was it really that brought you into prison most of the time?
Selling drugs.
Okay. And were you also addicted to drugs or did you just
yes.
sell? You did. Okay. Yes. What was your drug of choice?
Cocaine and marijuana.
Okay. And for our listeners out there, did you begin with cocaine or marijuana?
Marijuana.
Okay. A lot of people talk about marijuana as a gateway drug. Do you agree with that?
For me, it wasn't a gateway drug. It was introduced to me. I did it, and then other things were introduced.
Mm-hmm.
As cocaine was one of them. I did it. Marijuana never suggested to me to use cocaine. It was just a suggestion of other people.
Okay. How much money do you think you have spent on drugs in your own personal life?
Wow, thousands of dollars.
Okay. And In the sale of drug, what's the most amount of money you've ever earned in 1 week?
In 1 week, about $50,000.
Okay. And that's quite a sum of money. The consequences have been very severe, 28 years. How old are you, sir?
45.
But you served pretty much 28 years of time. It's a lot of time. And it doesn't matter where you've been. We know what matters is where you're going. Where
exactly.
Do you see yourself today, Javier? Where do you see yourself 1 year from today?
1 year from today, I see myself obtaining my CDL license, working with a good company, having enough to put a down payment on my own home, and just maintaining a sober life, a negative-free life, and of course, dealing with new people, new beginnings, positive people in my life.
Okay, excellent. I'm looking at another writing assignment. We were discussing the difference between a boy and a man and which one of these applies directly to you. And for our listeners out there, these are some of the differences of a boy and a man. Boys are students, men are teachers. Boys are consumers, men are producers. Boys play with toys, men work with tools. Boys break things, men make things. Boys ask questions, men give answers. Boys are disruptive, men bring order. Boys run in gangs, men organize teams. Boys play house, men build homes. Boys shack up, men get married. Boys make babies, men raise children. A boy won't raise his own children. A man will raise his and someone else's. Boys invent excuses for failure. Men produce strategies for success. Men look for somebody to take care of. Boys look for somebody to take care of them. Men look for somebody to take care of. Boys are present-centered, men are time-balanced, having knowledge of the past, understanding of the present, and a vision into the future. Boys seek popularity, men demand respect. Boys are up on the latest, men are down with the greatest. Boys keep secrets, men are open books, they're transparent. Which one of these statements applies directly to you and why? And this is your answer. Men are time-balanced, having knowledge of the past, understanding of the present, and vision for the future. And today, I understand how important it is to be responsible and balanced, developing a vision for my future. And that's something we worked on in the WINGS program, an action plan, correct?
Yes.
You also said that the area you need to work on the most is that boys make babies, men raise children, and that you would like to have a wife and have children with her. The last question is, are you more of a captain or a co-pilot? And you put down that you're a captain. In my past, I have always been a leader in doing and leading others to destruction. Today, I am a leader in doing the work of Jesus Christ, following his examples and what he ordains us to do. Tell me about your faith. How important is God in your life?
Today, God is relevant in my life. Number one, he has to be number one. If not, I will keep making the same mistakes that I've done in the past. In the past, I didn't have God in my life. I didn't practice my faith. It was always me making decisions that are costly. Today, I don't live like that. I refuse to make choices that are costly today. Today, I pray about things. If a situation arises, I pray about it. And in the process of me doing something, I pray about other things. Mm-hmm. And I learn to be patient and obedient because I know that on his time, not my time, he will give me an answer.
Okay. And Javier, when did God begin having an impact on you?
I'm going to say 2006. 2006, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I prayed for certain things to change in my life. I was home 4 years from December 13th of 2006 when I got released on that case. I was home till 2010. So I was able to stay free, working, making the right choices. And in 2010, my choices started to dwindle back to my old self. And that was because I stopped practicing my faith and I stopped allowing God to work in my life.
Okay. Is it fair to say that you found God in prison?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how did you do that inside?
Situations. I was in a situation where I was looking at another long-term prison sentence, and I prayed. And, I called my mother, and I asked my mother, and she gave me certain steps. She said, these are things you have to do in order to accept Christ and be sincere. And instead of getting what I was supposed to get, I got what God gave me, which was, one vicious reduction of sentence. And ever since that day, I believed that Christ can make things happen in my life. If he can do it for me, he can do it for other people.
Okay. What would your message be to the youth if we went into a school together? We have 5 high schools for the Wings Men program. What would your message be to students ages 14 to 18?
Look for mentors. Allow positive people in your life. When you think your friends have the right answers, they really don't. You have to look to men who are going places and doing positive things. You have to learn to be wise, to look at structured people who structure their lives, based on faith. Look for mentors. A lot of the youth probably doesn't have a father figure in their life, or big brothers, or, a family member, a friend, or individuals in the church. They're everywhere. You can't say there's not a role model. There's role models everywhere. There's mentors everywhere. You just have to be diligent and search out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the gentlemen I had the pleasure of meeting spent 28 years and 6 months straight in prison and had a life sentence. He had a commutation and actually came home. He has a forever parole. But from the inside, Javier, he wrote this: free yourself from negative people. Spend time with nice people who are smart, driven, and like-minded. Relationships should help you, not hurt you. Surround yourself with people who reflect the person you want to be. Choose friends who you are proud to know, people who you admire, who love and respect the people who make your day a little brighter simply by being in it. Life is too short to spend time with people who suck the happiness out of you. When you free yourself from negative people, you free yourself to be you, and being you is the only way to truly live. And this is from a gentleman who served a long time in prison, over 28 years, and had the blessing of coming home. But I like what you said about the message of mentorship. And the Wings program has been a mentor program for 23 years. What have you gotten out of the Wings program, Javier, since you've been in it?
Well, I graduated the program in August, and then I went upstate from the county. We kept in contact. And then I was released 3 months ago. Then I just made contact with you again last week at Drexel. So right now, what I've gotten is to be patient, and to know that there's people out there, programs out there that are willing to help individuals who think that, when there's no other way but their own way, they're wrong, because there are programs and there are individuals who care about people. I look forward to building and allowing the Wings program to help me build. They give me structure. Like I said, wisdom from you yourself, Mr. Montone. At the present, right now, you're my mentor. So, I have to allow myself to want to get to know you and be around you. And anytime assignments pop up, I have to be willing to, to build the courage to say, yes, allow me to do that, because that's the only way change is going to happen. If I don't do nothing different, then change won't happen.
Exactly. And it does require patience to really be part of any family. You need patience. To be an employee, you need patience. To be a captain on an airliner, you need patience. I learned patience at 24 years old when I was a co-pilot at Kennedy Airport when we were number 63 for takeoff. There were 62 airplanes, Javier, ahead of us. And that requires patience because you could only depart one airplane every 2 minutes. So every hour, 30 airplanes would go. We had a two-hour taxi delay, and you have to be patient. You know, and in life, there are times when you're going to have to be patient. When you were in prison, what are some of the things you actually learned about life in going to prison?
I learned that I had to be patient. And I learned that I had to be patient, and that everything is not about a fast-paced atmosphere, because it's different upstate. You know, I come from a fast-paced atmosphere, and getting put in a slow-paced atmosphere, you have to develop patience, or you end up making the wrong choices while in prison. It'll cost you. It'll cost you, you know, going to the hole, getting the write-up, and then not allowed to be home on early parole. You know, parole is a privilege. So a lot of individuals that are up there, you know, look forward to going home on their minimum, not their maximums. So you have to learn, you know, just because we're in prison doesn't mean that there's not good people in prison. I understand a lot of us made, you know, bad choices, mistakes, and you can learn from one another. Some individuals don't mind staying there. Some don't care if they go home or not. But you have to surround yourself with those who are looking virtually for the same thing you are, which is change, a change in choice making, a change in, you know, how you carry yourself, and a change in how you respond to people. Instead of saying something negative, you know, you learn to say something positive. You know, a kind word goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. When you look back at your own life, do you consider prison being a blessing or a burden?
I'm going to say that it was a bit of both. At the time that it was a blessing, I didn't know. I took it as a burden. But as I grew and I got a little older, it became to be a blessing because of the choices I was making that would eventually lead me to a physical death. So it was a bit of both in the beginning, but towards the end, it was a blessing.
Okay, great. Here's one of your writing assignments from June 25th, 2014, session 13. What is the WINGS program given me? It has given me confirmation on my vision for the future. As long as my character reflects that of our Creator, I know I'm headed in the right direction. The WINGS program will allow me to be accountable to God, self, and family. The WINGS program has allowed me to trust that a plan of action is in order for my life. And so, you know, very positive things that you got out of the WINGS program just up to session 13. There were 20 sessions in 50 hours. And so as we moved through 18 months ago, there were, you know, a lot of different aspects of the program. But, yeah, I like what you said about being in prison and getting the blessing, you know, a little bit of a blessing, a little bit of a burden, you know, because going to prison can be tough. And especially for the first time. And so what were some of the most difficult things you had to endure while being inside?
I'm going to say dealing with different ethnic backgrounds, different individuals from different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dealing with people who didn't see you as you, saw you as something other than because of your ethnicity.
Okay. Were there any officers inside who tried to help you or mentor you?
That's not their job. At times, you would find one or two guards that would be willing, but they would get reported, and ultimately they would get shipped to a different prison or a different block.
Okay. Very good. And so, Javier, you know, it's just a great opportunity today to talk to you on the air. We
thank
have 4 minutes left in our broadcast, and you know, I just want to thank you for being part of the WINGS program and for being here on Finding God in Prison, and to really be part of the Holy Spirit Radio family. It's a privilege and a pleasure to have you as a personal friend, and as you said, you know, we're in the WINGS program, we measure trust one conversation at a time. We always talk about that the words and actions have to be one and the same. And your words and actions have been good, and they are one and the same where I'm concerned. And so my trust level in you is always good, and I expressed that at Drexel University. And that's why I want to say that next month when we begin the year 2016 in the Wings Men program in the schools, I'd like to have you as our lead-off speaker, because I know that you have the ability, you know, and the leadership to guide the young ones into making great decisions, excellent choices, and to avoid, you know, incarceration and drugs, drug usage and other things as well. So I hope that you'll make some time when we call upon you to be part of that. At the same time, in 2 weeks, we'll be over at Drexel. And yeah, we have December 19th is a special day for all of the men who've been through Drexel University. We'll celebrate our 100th class at Drexel University at the College of Medicine. At Saturday morning from 9 to 11:50. And we'll have there the children of inmates, the children of men on the inside, who will be coming down for a Christmas gift, and we will be blessing them with whatever we can give them to help the men on the inside to care for their children during the holiday season. And so I just want to thank you again for calling in today, and wish you the best with your reentry plan. I want you to stay connected. And is there anything you'd like to say before you go?
To whoever's listening, you know, brothers inside of jail, you know, develop faith. Read the word. Pray. God does answer prayers, not on our time, but His time. His ways are not our ways, or His thoughts are not our thoughts. We have to learn to be patient and apply His word. Even if someone from the street is listening, you know, the streets can be fast. Learn to apply patience. Believe that your God can when you can't. That's what I have.
Okay. And that's wonderful. I appreciate that message. And Javier, I want to thank you again for calling in today. It's always good to talk to you. God bless you. And I'll be talking to you very shortly after the broadcast. But have a great day, and God bless.
You too, Mr. Montal. Thank you for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye now. Okay, my friends, we're talking with Javier Rodriguez, a great wingman in the Wings program, doing great work on the outside, really getting his life back together after many years of incarceration and also addiction. I just tell you that we have only about a minute left, my friends, but I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast today. This is our 9th broadcast. Before we go, I want to take a moment to thank the Charitable Exchange and also the Connolly Foundation for their support of the Wings program. And I want to also thank the people here, Dave Parker and Dale and Jane and Kathy, for all their support over in the past for our program, Finding God in Prison. This broadcast will air a second time tomorrow at 4 p.m., so please tune in. And again, if you would like to make a donation, please do it through the Charitable Exchange at www.thecharitableexchange.org. You can scroll down to My Father's Vineyard and make your donation there. And they guarantee 100% of your donation through the website will go to the donor's selected charity. So please feel free to make that donation. We have just a couple of seconds left, but thank you very much for tuning in. God bless you, and have a beautiful holiday season. Merry Christmas to everyone. Take care now.
Lighting up the world as it lay sleeping.